Hi everyone, it's Roger and James here from the What's on Disney Plus podcast. In this episode, we're going to be going through all the details from the Investors Day. That means we're going to go through launch date, we're going to be going through the price, we'll be going through the library, we'll be going through international launch, what the app looks like, what exclusives, tons and tons of information from that event. Couldn't believe how much stuff they announced on late Thursday night. So we're going to go, we're going right through all that one there. That's why we are a few days earlier than we normally are, but this will probably be the new schedule anyway. Before we get going, I just want to say a big hello to everyone that's new that's going to be joining us this week. We've had lots more people checking out the website on social media, the YouTube channel, etc. So I know we're going to have lots of new eyes. So welcome. We've been doing this for about 6 months and we do a podcast each week where we talk about all the news from Disney Plus, the new trailers, the new movies and new shows, etc. So just wanted to jump on that. And if you are new here, make sure you do subscribe on YouTube or on the podcast services such as iTunes, Google, Spotify, etc. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. So now that that's all out the way, let's jump into that thing. So James, what did you think of that presentation?
It was long. It was very long. That was my first reaction. Other than the length being a little bit bloated, it was a really good investor meeting. And I have to admit, you know, having watched now that investor meeting, and then watching the opening of Star Wars Celebration, I appreciate so much the more professional presentation of the investor. No crowd cheering after every announcement. Yeah. Not an incredible amount of back patting. There was a little bit with Jon Favreau and talking about The Mandalorian and The Lion King. But other than that, it's all very, here's the information. Here's what it means. This is why it's a good thing for investors. Here's some dates to go along with it. Here's the lineup. They might have padded it out a little bit too much, but it was still very professional. And I prefer that style over the hardcore fandom, of which, I mean, I'm a part of, but yeah, it's much easier to watch.
Yeah, I mean, this event is for investors. So therefore, it's about people that are spending money on stock, but also trying to keep people that have got stock in the company, keep them informed. I also think it was a little bit of a press event as well to kind of keep us. So then like when we feed out that information to people, it got, you know, everywhere. Or I don't necessarily think a lot of people were sitting down there to watch it. I mean, the server was crashing a bit. And I think a lot of people were tuning in, but the presentation style was much more, here's the facts, bang, 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 you know. There was a bit, yeah, like I said, there was a bit of bloating and padding, but yeah, they weren't reacting to the audience. There was a little bit of a reaction to the price because like they catch Kevin off guard, because that was the one thing that they mentioned in the Q&A session. But because compared to the normal investors show where I listen to them every quarter, this was a lot more crisp and precise. It was long. I mean, it didn't start for me till about 10:15 at night. It didn't finish till nearly 1:30 in the morning. I tried to go to sleep straight afterwards. I was still buzzing. My head was still going in 1,000 different directions. I don't think I slept very well. So for yesterday at work, I was not my fullest. Let's say I had lots of cup of tea. I went off the decaf tea for a day because I was just like, I need to get through the day. It was just something with so much articles and stuff to do. It was great. But yeah, I thought the show was, they gave a lot of information. There's a lot of questions. Now that we've kind of gone through, you know, I'm getting, you know, lots of questions. There's lots of stuff they didn't say. They did say a lot. And I do think they gave us a lot of information. And we're going to go through that now. But big, long. It probably could have done without all the bit at the beginning with the ESPN and the Hulu. I know why they did that. But they definitely kept the price and the things. They know they had to keep everyone hooked to that last minute for the price and the launch date. And that's, you know, it's what you expect from an event. I mean, everyone asking for it like within the first 2 minutes is like, this is not what this is about.
No, this was an investor event. If it was a fan event, we might have gotten it a bit earlier, but they were definitely, we know why people are watching. But that said, there were still a fair number of things. Like, there's still questions, but they did answer a lot of very important questions. And so most of the remaining questions are more like, is this series actually coming out? What are the details of, say, Falcon and Winter Soldier, or what is it? WandaVision. Is that what we're calling it right now? We'll come back to that.
Yeah. So let's first off, let's do the main bit of news. So first off, the price. I think that's an important one to jump into. $6.99 a month when it launches, which will be in the US on November the 12th.
Well, not just $6.99 a month. You do have the option of going $69 per year, which, I mean, is a nice thing. That saves you about $14 a year. And it is kind of nice to have that. We weren't sure if there was going to be an annual plan. But I'm always happy for things like this. If it's a service I know I'm going to be using, and obviously we're doing this podcast, I will be using the service. It's nice being able to know, all right, if I commit to it for a year, then I save a small amount of money for it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a great price. I mean, it's literally about half of Netflix at the moment. It even got a reaction from the investors, which, you know, they weren't really reacting to anything, but that did get a like a cheer, because that is a very cheap price for what they're offering. Disney themselves have called it aggressive. They are going in hard to make sure they get as many viewers subscribed. They want to catch up, and they want to do that, and they know that price point is to do it. There's no messing about with free version, low version. It's an ad-free version. You pay subscription. You are getting everything. You're getting the 4K versions of movies. You're not having to upgrade for that. You are getting everything for $6.99 a month. And yeah, I mean, they're pretty straightforward on that price. Yes, the price is going to go up eventually because of inflation. But also they
know, not just inflation, but
also there's a lot of competition out there. And I think that's the key point here. There's a lot of streaming services, and if everybody wants their piece of the pie, they all cut this $10-$15 a month. That's going to line up. I mean, I know I've got plenty of streaming services that I'm subscribed to. If they hit above a certain point, people are going to start pulling back. So I think $6.99 price point, that's just above, I think, what I'm currently paying for Disney Life, which is $4.99 a month. It's that kind of price of going, that's cheap. Compare that to, it is my cheapest monthly subscription that I have. Everything else that is, and I think $6.99 probably is going to be the cheapest one. Is it? I don't think there's many that low at the moment.
I mean, I'm not sure what you're paying for monthly at this point, but over there, in the US. It will be my cheapest video subscription. I think I pay about that much or a little bit less for Marvel Unlimited, but that does not include movies. That's comics only. So yeah, it makes sense. It's a little bit cheaper. I don't have Hulu, although that's probably going to change. Yeah. Don't have ESPN. That's not going to change. Netflix and Amazon Prime. So yeah, it's definitely cheaper than both Netflix and Amazon Prime. And those are its core competitors.
I mean, ESPN Plus is $4.99, but it does seem to be they're doing like there's adverts, and they've also upcharging for pay-per-view events, etc. They did go into that one. So I thought the price very well done. That's good. I mean, I can't, and yeah, I think that's just, it was a great price. You cannot dispute that. So looking here at the launch date, November the 12th is the US launch date. There was a report on the Wall Street Journal just before saying it was November, and I'm sitting there like this going, please don't be when I'm in Disneyland. Luckily it's 2 weeks earlier than, so I was going, we were a little bit off on our predictions from earlier this week when we recorded. I was thinking September, you were thinking October. So we were both.
I think it was the other way around, actually. Yeah. But obviously I'm happy to have a date. I'm happy that it's before Christmas. It will be before my trip to Disneyland as well, by about 3 or 4 weeks. Mm. And it's good to have the date. I would have preferred earlier. Yeah. But keeping in mind, especially these days, it is entirely possible that there will be a soft launch before this, but don't count on it. Definitely don't go into this being like, oh, there will be a soft launch and I'll get to play with it in September. It's not by no means a guarantee, but there is a chance that there might be like an open a beta preview period for people to try out. Still, November is a very good time for them to launch it. It's right before Thanksgiving here in the States, so that'll get families together here. They'll be talking about it. Especially if there are kids in the family, you know, oh, I've got Disney Plus, I'll throw on Lady and the Tramp, or the live action Lady and the Tramp, even if for the launch. And then, of course, with Christmas, we expect there'll be gift cards, prepaid cards in places like Target, your local grocery store, and so on. It'll make a good gift, and it'll be on people's minds. So not the date I would have hoped for, but not a bad one either.
No, I mean, I think that's definitely a key thing, really, is that is the U.S. launch date. And
so the North American launch date, I think. Well,
there's a thing of like, they never meant, they say North America, but Canada and Mexico, it's going to be, they did say, and I'm going to be bringing up the slide in a minute, it's Q1 2020, or I think of their financial year, that is a bit of an odd thing, but they said North America. So to me, that's kind of says Mexico and Canada as well, but they kind of stated US. It's a bit of an odd one. They're not very clear on it.
They are. They aren't very clear on it. The North America Q1 gives them a very wide range of stuff. At a guess, United States and Canada will get it at launch, and Mexico will get it later. Mexico is kind of the black sheep of the family in terms of releases. Canada often gets treated as one of the states, pricing notwithstanding, and their love of Quebecois. But I would be a little bit surprised if Canada didn't come at the same time as America, unless they were kind of like, we want to make sure that the servers can handle the US load and then we'll add Canada. But from my experience working with data analytics for both United States and Canadian companies, the server load that Canada puts on this kind of service isn't that much. It's negligible compared to what most of the United States puts on it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping really and honestly that they're a bit clearer on what, because I've, you know, a lot of Canadians have been messaging me about it, and Mexico as well, because it's very confusing what they're, whether or not they classify Mexico as Latin America or if they don't. But this is the issue, and I do think the trouble is they sort of said the stuff, and it's a little bit ambiguous, because they sort of, you know, Disney Plus is going global. They have stated that it will be coming out pretty much in every market they can within 2 years of the US launch. So within, by the end of 2021, they aim to be everywhere. So this is a global network. There's no thing of like, oh, they're not releasing it elsewhere. They are planning it. But there are technical and legal issues and distribution issues that are slowing things down. They want to make sure, A, the tech can handle it, make sure they get the load. They don't want to switch the switch on day one and have the entire world log in. Their servers just wouldn't be able to handle it. So therefore, they are spreading it out. So I'm going to bring up a slide here, which kind of just sort of shows off the main bits of information that we need for this. And let's bring up it here. It's just very interesting to see how they've done it. Let's share that. Should we see it? No, we don't. Okay, the technical issues. See, this is why they didn't want to do it.
Although it is interesting, you know, before they talked about Disney Plus, they talked about their service in India. And the Indian service is actually probably larger than what Disney Plus will launch as, at least the North American contingent of it. And with that experience, they might be able to bypass some of those technical hurdles that we're expecting. Obviously, we fully expect there will be problems on launch day. There always are on things like this. But with that experience with the Indian market, being as large as it is, I'm hoping they're bringing some of that knowledge over so that they can kind of minimize that.
Yeah, and I think that is a key thing, is they've got to watch how they do it. They've got to watch how it comes out, because, you know, they don't want the problems that they had like in the UK when they launched over here, because that didn't go down very well at all.
Understandably.
And I'm just going to just zoom out. Find it on.
You're not allowed to.
No, I know. It's Zoom out. Here we go. And I'm just going to flip over just so you guys can see. So they did put up a presentation, and here we go. Oh, it's just coming in. So North America was quarter one, North America here, under the fiscal year 2020. Now, fiscal year does actually include, I think, the last quarter of 2019. I think they've changed the way their fiscal years work. Europe is running through quarter one and quarter two. So that basically means maybe late 2019. I'm not expecting 2019, early 2020. With Asia Pacific then kind of following, I mean, how anyone's expected to, it was a very vague kind of, it's going to be happening over the 2 year period. Eastern Europe is getting it in 2021 or late 2020. And then also Latin America is also getting it quarter one 2021. So that could be late 2020. So that's what they said as their global rollout. They're going to be adding little countries extra. They are 100% seem to be committed on trying to make sure they get out in the US first. And that's the main thing they're focused on, is that idea is they want to focus on the US first, which makes sense. However, it does just, I don't know. It's, I can see why they do it, but they need to be much clearer.
Yeah. And they're probably leaving it ambiguous on purpose, specifically because they probably don't know what the actual launch regions are going to be. But yeah, it would definitely be nice if, you know, North America, that by North America, we mean United States and Canada. And then, of course, Mexico can be mad because they are North American, but yeah. they always get lumped in with the rest of the Latin countries as well. And of course, you look at Asia and you're like, oh yeah, Asia's a tiny market, right? It doesn't have like two countries with a population of a billion people each, you know? Yeah. Whatever, it's a small market. But yeah, they're probably leaving it ambiguous because they don't know themselves just yet. And the decision probably won't even be made until a week or two before it actually launches. I mean,
some of the reasons why they've said this is because some of it is to do with distribution rights, because obviously there's been a lot of stuff, say for example, like Netflix. The Netflix deal expired in the US at the end of the beginning of 2019. So like Mary Poppins returns is the last movie that will go onto Netflix and Disney before they, and then they've got then 18 months before that then expires. So everything from February 2019 will automatically go onto the service, such as Captain Marvel, which will be there at launch. So they've got to get that rights done. You know, all these contracts have to run out. Whereas like over here in the UK, for example, Disney movies go on to Disney Channel on Sky, and then they go on to Netflix, and then they go on to Disney Life. So Disney Life is getting them way after everything else. So because they've got these deals, and I think their deal doesn't expire till 2020, which might be why Europe's getting it a little bit later. In France, Germany, they've all got different deals, and these all have to expire, or they have to be brought out, or they have to be made void, etc. So this is the issue. There's also got other technical issues in individual countries they've got to get around. You know, is the internet up to it? Have they got servers there? Because they don't want to be running off servers in the US. They need to get servers in their countries and running them. Now, this does leave a big thing for us over here in the UK and Ireland. We have got Disney Life, which is our streaming service. So there was no mention in the actual official presentation. There was a question in the Q&A session about that, but it was primarily aimed at, because over here on Disney Life, we have books, music, and they started with games, but they pulled that all out, which Bob Iger did say that they are purely focused on video and video. That's it. The other media, they're not going to be doing. They found that everyone was just using the videos. So Disney Life, I'm expecting, will be either rebranded. It wouldn't even surprise me if it was rebranded around the same time, because they've got it running. I mean, it's just literally they can update the app and suddenly it's Disney Plus, and they can put those exclusives on there and they can run it all, new app, everything. So I think the UK and Ireland will probably get it quite quickly because we have got one. You know, it's the easiest thing for us to flip it over because we've got a streaming service already. The fact that it's coming early 2020, I think it's great. I think they know that Western Europe And by that, I think, you know, it's like UK, France, Germany, Italy, you know, it's a big market and they want to make sure that they're there for it.
Yeah. And especially in this age of globalization, you can't really be like, oh yeah, England's a secondary market, because you guys will all be sitting there on Facebook and Twitter going, hey, where's our movies and stuff like that. So well, we see it all the time. We've talked about it plenty of times on the Diz Kingdom podcast, where it's like, I'm going to go see this movie this week, and you'll be, oh, I don't get until April. Or you'll be saying, I'm going to go see the Avengers movie. I'm like, I still got like several weeks before
I'll go see it like a day before the rest of you. So yeah, it's one of those things. Global release date means they're going to do it. Obviously, once they get launched, it's going to take time. We are going to find out more. We've still got nearly 6 months before it officially launches. They have got time to clear up this information. They are going to be on the marketing. So I'm going to go on to that side of things now, marketing. They did talk about it and how they're going to be bringing it out. They've been calling it like the tease zone, I think. I don't know if that started back in sort of when they started announcing it, the teasing it. And whether or not that, I don't know if whether about the announcement was the start of the tease or if that was the end of the tease and going into the next stage. But now it's going to be marketing, and they're going to be going in with the, what I think they called it, the biggest and the most aggressive marketing campaign they've ever done, because they are going to use every single platform they have got. They're going to be using the parks. They're going to be using the Disney store. They're going to be using Hulu. They're going to be using ABC. They're going to be using movies. They're going to be using everything to push Disney Plus. They want to get to something like 95% of the audience to know that Disney Plus is coming. They are planning this to be big. They are spending a lot of money on this. I think they're spending like $1 billion on content in year one. They are spending a lot of money on this. They know they've got to go in big, and it's going to be promoted. And yeah. And I am also wondering, on that promotion side of things, it seemed a bit odd of like how they were announcing stuff, because they were announcing stuff for the official Twitter page or the official Disney page. They were putting stuff up on the Oh My Disney blog. They were putting things up on D23. It seemed almost like they were along the lines of, we're not going down. You know, they were very much putting that out there on all their core big Disney brands, that this is, you know, this is where the information is coming from.
Yeah. And they have so many different outlets to announce it from. It's actually kind of overwhelming in that regard too. But yeah, especially as we get closer to the November 12th launch date, you're going to see ads everywhere. You're going to see reminders everywhere. Captain Marvel now on video, soon on Disney Plus, you know, stuff like that. And if you're at the parks, or if you've been to the parks, you know, they've got ads on every single one of the buses and in the parking lots. And especially at Hollywood Studios, they've got, you know, ads up all around the park. And some of them are a bit outdated. I remember we saw Disney Infinity ads like up to a year after it was canceled. But Disney Plus, I fully expect, will be on just about every banner that you can find. There's ads inside the buses, you know, up on the upper level. And when you're coming home from the park and you are exhausted, that is your entertainment, is reading the ads up on the top.
And so, I will be honest, I found that actually there's so many TV series that I would find from those buses, because I'd be, especially like an international viewer, be going, oh, I don't know what that is. I'll find that. And then, oh, okay, that, because, and again, that's how they, that's that cross promotion of what's been going on. You are going to start seeing it promoted on all their content for all the bits and pieces. And they're just going to start name dropping that Disney Plus constantly. Now they've got the announcement up, they've got this out the way, they are just gonna use, we're just gonna be having a drip feed of getting us ready for this launch, which is exactly what they want. They are gonna be coming in big, and they want to make sure, because the trouble is, they need, I mean, the subscribers that they're talking about are in the are just in millions of what they're after.
Right. And they even had that graph, I think, right near the beginning, where they were showing, okay, up to this point, our strategy on advertising was just kind of a little name recognition. And, you know, the it was a light slope. And then after this investor, and I think after the actual earnings call, which is later, you can see the graph just ramp up as they're like, we are throwing this name at everything.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the key thing. They are going in hard on that promotion sites. They are not messing around with this. And they are going, I think they were talking about like 90 million subscribers by 2024. The investment that they're going to be doubling, the investment in content. They've got a lot of plans.
Right. And those numbers will be interesting to see how close they come to hitting those. A lot of it will depend on not the vault content, the older content, or even the content that comes out at launch. It'll be that continual stream of content that gets added, not just, you know, Avengers Endgame, Black Panther 2, Spider-Man, Far From Home, etc., but, you know, the next television series, Winter Soldier, WandaVision, etc. If they can continue that stream of stuff that people want to watch and they can't watch it anywhere else, then they can hit those numbers. Yeah. But if, you know, we hit a strong launch, you know, Mandalorian, Captain Marvel, the back catalog of videos that they showed off, but then they don't add things to it, then the subscriber base will just drop off, especially as the streaming market keeps getting divided more and more and more. Netflix, Hulu, CBS, etc.
One of the things I did pick up, and there was a little slide about the fact that they will be dropping episodes weekly, which I'm wondering if they're going to be doing that thing, you know, they like things like The Mandalorian, and the fact that they specifically said on a slide weekly drops. I've said this in the past, I think that is a good idea. It's a very good idea from the point of subscribers, because if you drop the whole of The Mandalorian on day one, then people will jump in for the one month, download it all, get going. And also, you know, you've got the free period and stuff. But if they spread it out 8 episodes or 10 episodes, that's 2 months worth of subscriptions, unless you're just going to jump in at the end and binge it.
Right. And, you know, people will have to strategically decide if they're going to do a month based on what they want. Then, yeah, you have to wait until The Mandalorian finishes, or the Winter Soldier finishes, or whatever show you're on. I kind of hope that there's like a combination of how they release. I'm fine with the weekly release for these, because I'm not really a binge watcher. Even getting ready for like Game of Thrones here with season 8 starting in a day or two. And by watching the previous seasons, I can only watch a handful of episodes at a time. I'm not one of those people who can sit down at 8 o'clock in the morning and stand up at 8 o'clock at night and be like, all right, I just watched 12 episodes. And like, yeah. But by the same token, you know, when we're talking about back catalog items, let's say they're adding the original DuckTales or Darkwing Duck, or, you know, those old live action movies, you know, the ones from the 50s on up to the 70s or 80s, Davy Crockett. I'd rather have them drop all that at once. Yeah. I don't need a weekly release of a cartoon that's 20 years old.
No.
But the new content, sure.
I think also it's the idea as well of keep the conversation going. Once it's available back, you know, that's the other thing. The binge watching is still there for people following in and coming in behind and stuff. But that new content. So I think, you know, they were talking, there's quite a lot of stuff that's coming at launch, but we'll go into that a bit later on. Couple of other key points. 4K, they announced 4K is available on movies. No extra charge. I thought that was a big move. You know, about the fact that if you've got your internet, they will be available in 4K. You know, they're not charging more for it like Netflix. But then Amazon don't charge either for 4K, but it's nice to see them kind of announce that.
It is. Keeping in mind, of course, they might not be charging extra for 4K, but if you are live in an area that has data caps,
yeah,
4K will chew through your data cap like nothing else will. So just be aware of your personal internet situation. Honestly, data caps shouldn't be a thing at all. I wish I didn't have to put that disclaimer in, but
yeah, you know, I don't have them. I didn't really think about that. But also, they downloadable content on your devices.
Yes.
So on your smartphone, you can download it, which I think is a key thing. I know Netflix have done that one. Disney Life as well, they have that over here. I was just checking to see if it was what it was. Very important. You know, you download it onto your app, onto your tablet in the back of the car. You can watch it. If you're on an airplane, you can download a few movies. They're straight out the bat, set it, big screen. It's great. You know, again, another question that's been answered that is great. And I think this is a key thing. I've got so much work to do on the FAQs and the and the library video to do over the next coming weeks ahead of as I get all this stuff sorted out. There was so much information dropped in this event. But yeah, it's great to see that that information's been put out there. So let's talk now a little bit about the content. Let's deal with the library stuff rather than the new stuff to begin with. They put up some screens showing off lots of movies, lots of TV series, countless ones. There is that kind of thing of there was so much put out there, and they said, you know, all the Pixar movies, the only thing that's going to happen is Incredibles 2, I think Coco, and another one from last year.
Inside Out? No, it wasn't Inside Out. Finding Dory, was it?
No, I think that was fine. I think it was just Incredibles 2 was the main one. It's the ones from last year, and Coco, I think, were the two main ones, where they will be coming out later once they leave Netflix. All the Pixar movies will be on there. All the Pixar shorts will be on there. The back catalogue of Disney movies, all the animated stuff will all be there. They showed off loads. They showed off the Disney Channel content. There's going to be like 5,000 episodes of from the Disney Channel, 100 Disney Channel movies. There's going to be, I think, 400 movies will be available pretty much at launch, which is quite a lot. There's lots of questions about what ones are on there, what ones weren't. There was lots of screens up with them on there. And there's that kind of thing of going, oh, I didn't see that movie. I didn't see that movie. They couldn't put all 400 of them up on the screen at once. It's just they put up the main big brands, you know, and they mentioned things like Cars and they'll all be on there and things like that. They are going to be putting as much on here as possible. They are, and it might take them up to a year to put the things on there because they're going to have to go through and put more bits and pieces on there. But that was a big announcement. But yeah, I'm going through the pictures trying to, you know, pick out ones and stuff so we know are confirmed, because I take, if there's a picture, it's confirmed. But yeah, you're going to see a lot. There's a lot of other questions, but they just didn't have enough screen space to put all of them out there.
Right. And they need to hold some back anyway for news articles in the future. There's a lot of very good titles in there, not just the ones you mentioned. I do want to point out, I don't know if it's just one that's missing off the list or one notable thing. They had the classic Treasure Island movie on there, and they had the more recent Muppets movie on there, but they did not have Muppets Treasure Island, and I was very, very sad to miss that because that is... But again, we don't know if it is included or not, because the list of movies is way too large for them to have posted everything. And I'm only half joking about that, too. The interesting one, and I suspect you were heading in this direction anyway, is all of the Star Wars movies.
Yes.
Specify all of the mainline Star Wars movies plus the other two Disney ones, Rogue One and Solo. No mention of the Ewoks. which may or may not be a blessing, but yeah, the fact that they've got all 10 of the Star Wars movies plus Episode 9 when that comes out is huge, because we knew, or we thought we knew, that was it Ted Turner's company? Turner had the distribution or the broadcast rights for those, and yet all of them are there on launch.
Yes, I think they went out and paid some money to get to make sure that they had. They can't have a Star Wars being lumped in there. And people going there, let's watch Star Wars. What do you mean? There's only two movies. That wouldn't have really worked. The fact that they have got the original and the classic and the prequel trilogies there. They've got Episode 7 and they've got Rogue One. Solo, a Star Wars story, will be coming at a later date once it finishes Netflix. So will be The Last Jedi. I think technically The Last Jedi doesn't expire on Netflix till like December. So that's why they didn't include it. But it's going to be available quite quickly after it launches. And then Episode 9 will be on Disney Plus when that ends, after it's been out at the cinema and on Blu-ray, etc. Things. They're still keeping to that release schedule at the minute.
They were very clear about that.
Yeah, they were very clear about that. They're still making money. You know, they still want to send stuff to the cinema. They still want to sell you Blu-rays and digital versions, and then it's coming to them. Whether or not they tweaked that afterwards, they didn't really sort of say, all right, it takes 6 months, but they very much stated that's the system. But he has said in the past that they are looking to change, maybe make some changes. So we're going to have to see next year, a bit like that. But the fact that all the Star Wars stuff was on there, the Marvel stuff was...
A little more spotty.
A little bit more spotty. They, I think, because the trouble was that the original movies, like Iron Man, Hulk, etc., weren't made by Disney. They were made by Paramount and Universal. But the fact that they did specifically say Iron Man, you know, the Paramount ones are on board. No look of the Incredible Hulk, which is the one that we have been issuing over with the Universal one. What's four? Was four a Disney one, or was that somebody else?
No, the first Thor was still part of the Universal Paramount deal. All of the Phase 1 movies up to the first Avengers were part of that. They did specifically show Thor Dark World, which is an odd choice. If I was going to show a Thor movie and I couldn't show the first one, my choice would be Ragnarok. But
yeah, they did show Ragnarok, and that was a
eventually.
Yeah.
But yeah, their first title card with the Marvel movies was the first Iron Man, Iron Man 3, and Thor Dark World. And I'm like, yeah, you picked like the two movies that are generally regarded to be the bottom of the barrel for Marvel movies. So I'm not sure why you went with those. But yeah, then they came back with a later title card, and it's got the more recent movies, including Thor Ragnarok. And of course, Captain Marvel at launch. And then presumably, with the exception of maybe some of the Paramount movies that we were just talking about, everything in between, sorry, not in between Thor and Endgame, but Thor and the beginning, maybe Iron Man 3 and forward. So,
yeah, I think that's a little bit iffy. The one thing that did catch me with both, I mean, they said with Star Wars, Rogue War, Clone Wars and Rebels were on there. The Marvel stuff, they didn't really show any of the cartoon stuff. They didn't show any of the existing TV series like Cloak and Dagger or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nothing like that was shown off at all. And a key point I did want to pick up on that thing, with, especially with the Disney side as well, they were very much, you could see they were aiming at adults, because there's been that constant thing of people going, I don't want all this Disney Channel, I don't want Mickey Mouse cartoons. They weren't really pushing the children's shows. It was very much, this was aimed at, they're trying to get the adults on board right at this point.
Well, yes and no. They, for the most part, I agree. They were Star Wars, Marvel, Mandalorian. These are the things that get you and I and people in our age range excited about this. But they did have that whole section at the end where, like, here is a trailer for High School Musical, the musical. And then there were a handful of other trailers. We didn't get to see them because we weren't in the room. But those were all very clearly, if not kids, then young adults, teenagers. We were not the target audience for those, definitely. But yeah, there was definitely not an emphasis on, here's Mickey's Roadsters. You can sit your kid down in front of these. Or here are the classic cartoons from that we grew up on, you know, Chip and Dale and Goofy and Pluto and all that. There was none of that. That will be coming.
Yeah.
I'm sure. But
I think one of the reasons for that is they are very much aware, and I see this a lot. There's still a bit of a thing with Disney about them being viewed as just cartoons. And people still have that view of Disney. I mean, there's so much that there isn't. But this event definitely was more about getting out there that people are going, oh, Netflix has got things for everybody. Well, Disney do, but they are going for that family audience. They weren't pushing the Disney Junior aspect very much. It was much more about other things. So that was kind of interesting. Two other kind of things from there was, on the Disney side of things, I did notice there was a image of Once Upon a Time, which I mentioned last episode. Not much more detail on the ABC side. And I think I can take that down. If you looked at the Hulu section of the show, which I know other than the ESPN bit when we all went to the loo, but when the
you're pretty true.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I did put out a tweet and that got a lot of likes.
Little did we know there was going to be a 15-minute break after that. That wouldn't have stopped me anyway.
No.
Anyway, sorry, back on topic.
During the Hulu bit, they were very much put up a slide showing off shows like Grey's Anatomy, Good Doctor, and all the ABC shows, and also the Fox content like Modern Family stuff, that's on Hulu. There was a screen with those images on there, and nothing came up of that stuff on Disney Plus. And there was almost that kind of, they are maybe making that divide. I think there is going to be cross-pollination, and I think they're going to sort that out laterwards, you know, because the big, yeah, there didn't seem to be, I think things are going to be shared anyway, but there did seem to be that little bit of a cross divide. Nothing too much from the ABC side was shown on Disney Plus, which I was expecting a little bit more, but, and same thing with Fox, but I'm expecting things would move around a bit because of Hulu.
Yeah, I suspect, as I've mentioned kind of in past episodes, that they really want Disney Plus to be identifiably Disney. And while they have a lot of very good shows on ABC and are picking up a lot of shows from Fox, with the exception of The Simpsons, which we'll talk about in a bit, most of those shows are not distinctly Disney. You know, so if they want Disney Plus to be the Disney service, then it makes more sense for those to end up on Hulu.
I still think they're going to pull all the family-friendly content from ABC and
Hulu. Eventually.
Eventually. And they'll start creeping that over.
But you mentioned Once Upon a Time. Again, that is very identifiably Disney, even if it doesn't really carry the branding as much, and these are very different versions of the character. Well, not very, but different versions of the characters that you get from the old cartoons, Snow White and so on. There's still the Disney characters. It's more like the Descendants than anything else. So yeah. I can see why that would come over.
I think we'll get a bit more clearer picture of what's going on with that as the information comes out over the few months. I would have liked a little bit more. It definitely felt a little bit more like, okay, ABC and Fox are over there and everything else is over here. I still think like it was, I think also on the Hulu screen, they had like Pretty Little Liars. So obviously that's from the Freeform side of things. I would have just liked a little bit more idea on what's happening with things like S.H.I.E.L.D. and Cloak and Dagger and maybe things like, Modern Family to me, I would have viewed that as more of a family-friendly show. But we'll find out more of this later on. So we're going to move now on to the Fox side of things. Now, this is where I was a little bit surprised of how they did it. First off, we mentioned The Simpsons. That was probably one of the biggest things, really, was not only did they say that all 30 seasons of The Simpsons are going to be on Disney Plus, they then had that trailer with The Simpsons making fun of being owned by Disney and saying that they're on Fox, and Dumbo landing on his head, and a statue of Bob Iger, and a picture of Rupert Murdoch in a bin. And you know, that they couldn't have, that was so well done. And I thought that was great. And the fact that The Simpsons are moving over to Disney Plus and is like, yeah, you can see they're going to be moving them off of things. I think it was like Simpsons World or something as a streaming app and FX and stuff. You can see them. They're going to start making some changes because they've only really been owning them for a few weeks. But yeah, The Simpsons, that was a big, big announcement.
Yeah. I mean, not too surprising when you really think about it, but to say right up front, 30 seasons of Simpsons right here, right now, or November 12th. It's big. Even if you're not a big Disney fan, even if you're really just kind of going, I'm only getting Disney Plus for The Mandalorian or the Marvel shows, most people can at least go, oh yeah, Simpsons, I can watch that. At least, you know, the first, 8 to 10 seasons when it was considered in its like golden age, or keep on going. You can binge The Simpsons. They're short episodes. I would have liked a continuation of that to then talk about Futurama, but I'm sure that they either wanted to hold that one back as a future announcement, or there might be some rights issues, because I know Netflix had them up until relatively recently. Yeah. So
I think it was more about making that beat that Simpsons was it.
Right.
Because like Family Guy, I'm not necessarily expecting it, but the fact that they're putting onto Freeform, and I think they had to be careful of what they were saying. And the Simpsons was their big push for that. That was definitely a big thing. I think that was great. I mean, you think 700 episodes, when they're talking about having like 5,000 Disney Channel episodes, and going 700 episodes of The Simpsons, and they talk about having like 7,500 episodes of television shows. You're going, well, the Disney Channel plus Simpsons is over 6,000 before you even start it. You know, that's a lot of episodes, you know, just kind of kick in, and that's a big selling point. And I think they couldn't have handled that better. Regarding Fox, very much along the lines of, they are just being thrown in under the Disney banner. That was as simple as that. They were just thrown in under Disney, and that's kind of the way they look at it.
Yeah, and I guess that makes the most sense. I was expecting a little bit longer wait time before they did that, but you know, Disney's just, we want people to know this is Disney. These are ours.
So there was a screen put up with some movies on there. So things like Dr. Dolittle with Eddie Murphy, Home Alone 3. I'm sure that was a good pick. I was like, well, why wouldn't you have shown Home Alone 1? Nope.
Home Alone 3. This is the same thing as like, why did you put Iron Man 3 and Thor Dark World on your Marvel slide? This is not the great representation. But, you know, I think it's also partly to just be like, no, we've got a huge variety. You know, it's not just the ones that you expect. It's not just the most well-known ones. It's, you know, we got these other things here too, kind of the let's call them the guilty pleasure kind of movies, the stuff that you would never really admit to renting, but hey, it's right there, it's on Disney Plus, I can watch it, and that's, it's part of, I'm not spending extra on it, and there you go.
I mean, they put on there the Miracle on 34th Street, the original one from like the, was it the 30s or the 40s?
I don't even remember, but it's a good movie.
One of the key ones, A Sound of Music. You know, that was, not only was that shown in the slide, but it was also shown in the app usage. So very, it's like, okay, they're throwing in Garfield, Horton Hears a Who. You know, they were showing off lots of like random movies, not necessarily the big heavy hitters. But like I said, I think it was more about just showing, to me, it was like going, here we've got a list of stuff from old, new, random, big ones, little ones. And it was like, you know, things like Mr. Megorium, Wonder Emporium, and things, some random movies. And it was like, to me, it was more about, like, yeah, Fox is in here, but we're still sorting through what we need to watch. Like, we haven't watched the whole catalog yet to work out what it ticks under. Great to see them put it in there. It's just going to be lumped in under the Disney family movies. They're not keeping it as a separate brand. They're just going to be in there as a family movie. I expect we'll find out more as that goes on, and they'll just keep throwing things in there. But that's going to bulk out their movie back catalog a lot. You know, they've got a lot, but also they can spread that out a little bit. They can use that as, because all the stuff, there's so many old classic movies that they can throw in there.
It could. I'm waiting to see if they're just going to make a playlist of Julie Andrews classics movies, because they have so many of them right now. The Sound of Music, Mary Poppins, Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, you know, so many.
But a thing as well is they've only had so much stuff that they could show in this slide.
Right.
Just having Sound of Music up there was kind of a key thing. Also, Avatar. Avatar was shown front and center on one of the apps, which makes sense. Just, it was that kind of thing. It was a little nod. They weren't making a lot of noise about it. And I think as well, they've only been owning this company for a couple of weeks. They need to realign everything. There's still things going on in the background. They've got to readjust everything. But it was great to see. I was really glad that they kind of just came out, showed us some slides, showed us what was going on, what we can expect. Because they had the banner up with the five brands. And whether or not, we didn't know if Blue Sky was going to be an extra brand on it, like, nope, they're just going to throw it in under Disney and keep it quite simple. I think they want to be quite simple of that this is now just a Disney brand, and I thought that was a good thing.
Yeah, and I don't think Blue Skies was a big enough name on its own to warrant it, so that's not really a surprise at all.
National Geographic had a big, they were on the stage, they were one of the five pillars, because that's what I would actually say. Yeah, there was kind of like, it's like Disney Channel, Pixar, Lucasfilm, Marvel, the animated versions, the live action movies. Yeah, so National Geographic was up there. 250 shows going on there. All they did specifically say family friendly content. I think they're going to be very much along the lines of that's where they're going to be going forward. Free Solo, which won the Oscar, a fantastic documentary. That's going to be on there. That was shown in the slide. They talked about that one. They've got a couple of new series, one with Jeff Goldblum and one that they filmed at the Animal Kingdom. I mean, National Geographic filming a documentary of the animals at Animal Kingdom and at Epcot. It's like, yeah, it's like, if you talk about synergy, that was the best synergy as you could get.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they're able to keep it under wraps, actually, because that would seem like a pretty big deal to have the Nat Geo photographers and videographers in there. But hey, I'm presuming, of course, that they've already filmed stuff for it. They might not
have. There was someone tweeted at me. I can't remember the name, sorry, but about the fact of was when Rakifi Watch was closed down for a couple of months. Were they up there filming up there then?
Yeah, that's a good point. Maybe. I didn't realize they'd actually reopened it. I thought it was still closed, but. Yeah.
But no, so that was great. They're going to have, they showed up loads of content there. There was like a Gordon Ramsay series, Wicked Tuna, loads of bits and pieces. They know that National Geographic, it feels like that's being positioned as the adult portion for documentaries, for almost that feeling of they can use that as that their branding for the more adult serious side of things, and as at the same time also be for kids and stuff to learn. But National Geographic is being positioned as that brand to me of being like, here's the serious stuff.
Right. And it'll be interesting to see how Disney Nature falls under that. If it will remain as like these are the younger documentaries versus Nat Geo's more adult oriented. And you know, Penguins or whatever it's called is coming out either this week or next week. That's getting very good reviews, but it's still under the Disney Nature branding, not National Geographic's.
No, I think National Geographic is considered to be one of the biggest names in, you know, that people trust, and having that in there, especially going up against Discovery's new streaming service, I think that's another little kick for them. 250 like series, that's a big thing to be brought in, and we're going to see a lot more from National Geographic. It definitely feels like the lineups are sort of coming into place of where they're positioning everything, and you know, they are putting in tons of content into the library. There is lots of questions about, is this on there? Is that going to be on there? The amount that they announced on this was far more than I thought that we were going to find out during this event. The library content was, I couldn't believe the amount of stuff they told us and showed us is going to be in there. But there's always leads to that question is that series from 1972 that only one person can remember in there? Well, they couldn't show everything, but now they've got 6 months to get that ready.
I don't know. I need to know right now if Song of the South is going to be in the back catalog.
You know, right now. I think they need to put it in there.
It's a part of history. It's not a good part of history, but it's part of history.
Yeah. And if it's not there, it makes it a bigger issue than if it is there. But things like that, I think they, you know, people are Black Cauldron in there. It's like, well, Black Cauldron is a cult classic. There's no reason for it not to be in there. You know, things like this. But yeah, the fact that they're getting rid of the vote, all the big movies are going to be in there is great. It's going to shift up now and talk a little bit about some of the new stuff that was announced. We saw earlier in the week, and this was what really got me, was they kind of caught us by surprise, because just after we recorded last week's episode, they then Monsters at Work was announced. You know, all the cast was announced for that one. You know, they're returning for that. That will be coming to Disney Plus. That just came out Tuesday afternoon, bang, sorted out. Then on the Wednesday, they then announced 10 new series would be coming in, all the non-fiction stuff, things like BR Chef, which they're filming at Walt Disney World, a Walt Disney Imagineering show, a new Encore show with Kirsten Bell. There's a show about props and history. There was a show where I think an ABC reporter is going on a trip with his son. We've got all random little bits and pieces that were just like on the Wednesday of 10, here's 10 shows coming to Disney Plus. I was like, wow, it was like, I did look at that and go, yeah, you wanted this to, you're building up anticipation for Thursday by releasing this information. I thought that was a great move.
Yeah. And it was definitely surprising. We weren't expecting any serious announcements until the actual call. But getting us primed, getting us some of these announcements out of the way, let them focus on the more important details like availability, pricing, timing, etc. And, you know, you don't need to make a big deal about a lot of these shows. So it would have been a little bit awkward to kind of fit in. Oh, we've got 10 new shows. Here's what they're called. And this is what they're about. A couple of them did get introduced. Like they talked briefly about Kristen Bell and how that's going to be a real life High School Musical was how they described it. But I figure it's kind of like American Idol or The Voice kids edition kind of deal. But yeah, they didn't need to spend time in the investor call talking about these. And it built up a little bit of buzz for the investor call, especially the Monsters, Inc. show, which was a nice little surprise. Monsters, Inc. isn't my favorite of the Pixar franchises, but it's still a solid one. And they mentioned we've got the original actors back. They're not the main characters. We're working on this other character who's going to go work at Monsters, Inc. But yeah, they got Billy Crystal and John Goodman and so on back.
Yeah, I mean, I very much looked at that as like, yeah, they've done a few. They did like one day's take and they will pop up as cameos. You'll be lucky if you see them for a few bits here and there, but it's great. You know, there was a little clip, we did see a little picture of the character. He looks a little yellow one, but it was really blurry in the corner. So expect we'll start seeing bits and pieces coming out from that. There was a new series like Reconnect, which was about like families reconnecting and getting off their apps and all the bits and pieces, which was kind of ironic.
I'm sure they're 100% aware of the irony of that one.
There was also two new Marvel shows were announced. One was a documentary series, like 616, where they're looking at the history of Marvel Legacy. I think that's great. You know, kind of jumping in and looking at the history and the comic books, being a bit like Marvel nerdy, and it was also a lot cheaper to make than a drama series. There was also another Marvel series announced as well. I've completely forgotten what that one was called.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and then we had, that was one of the, like, oh, there was another hero project. Oh, yeah, that was kind of like the Goodwill show they're doing.
That's right. Yeah, I remember it now.
Bringing in kids and stuff like that. So interesting to see that they've done that one there. There was a few other bits and pieces that they announced. They've confirmed a number of series that we've been talking about for months. Falcon and the Winter Soldier got confirmed. The Scarlet Witch and the Vision show, WandaVision. Who came up with that name? I just kept thinking of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory the entire time.
WonkaVision, yeah. I think that's what's been kind of tickling my brain for a while. Yeah, WandaVision. We'll need to see more about what this show is about. I really kind of want them to do the Wanda and Vision have children story, because that was an absolute train wreck in the comics. Like, we still feel the repercussions to that now, even though it was from the 80s. If they're smart, they're not going to go anywhere near that. But they confirmed it's a thing. The name is awkward, but they got the actors back. They got Olsen and Bettany back for it. So, hey, good for that. I was more interested in, say, the logo for Falcon and Winter Soldier. We didn't see anything more than that, which is too bad, but not surprising.
WandaVision isn't coming out till year two, so this is going to be 2021. Same thing for the Loki show. That's going to be year two as well, not year one. I don't think they're quite as high. They kind of must have signed him up to do it a lot earlier. They've not even started, really, on these shows. These aren't coming out for nearly 2 years. So it'll be a while before.
And I suspect that not just the writers, but the actors too, were just kind of like, look, we just did Infinity War and Endgame back to back with reshoots and all that. Give us a little time before we have to get back into the costumes.
Yeah. So Falcon and Winter Soldier is year one. So it could be the tail end of next year. This is why I'm thinking they might use some of these shows like S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff to bulk out earlier on. Because if these ones aren't coming, they aren't coming this year at least. So they're going to be holding them back. So that was good. So lots of stuff for that. The Star Wars shows as well. Mandalorian will be available at launch. So that will be coming. We definitely know that's coming on November the 12th. The second series with Diego Luna about Captain Cassian, year two. So we've got at least another year for that one. So that's, I'm quite happy with them being just a yearly show. I think the amount of Marvel and Star Wars shows, I think one a year is probably right. And now they've also said that after episode 9, Star Wars is, they're going to give it a little bit of a rest for a bit. They're not going to be going into annualized movies, which is probably a good thing. But we've also got Clone Wars as well, which is coming for season 7, Disney Plus exclusive, not available at launch by the looks of it. But we're expecting to find out a little bit more about that over the weekend at Star Wars Celebration.
Right. And I would also prefer that they kind of keep these shows yearly. You can have a Marvel show, you can have a Star Wars show, you can have them kind of spread out so you still get that that not all at once kind of deal. But I would like that, you know, rather than hitting us with a lot of shows, they put a lot more effort into just a few shows. So we have good quality shows rather than kind of a shotgun effect of here's Cassian, here's Rose, here's Obi-Wan Kenobi, here's, you know, Watto, and just see which ones fans go for. And instead go, here's Cassian. We put a lot of effort into it. We gave it a decent special effects budget. And if you want to see a Star Wars show, here's your Cassian.
I mean, it's good that they've officially confirmed the Falcon and the Winter Soldier and WandaVision. They also confirmed What If, the animated series that's been confirmed now for Disney Plus. There was rumors just kicking up just before the event of Hawkeye, that series with Kate Bishop as the younger one wasn't confirmed at the event, so we still need to put that one in. But it does seem that a lot of these rumors that have been coming out through the last few months, most of them got confirmed, so that's good. So that's great. But also, you can see they're making some lower priced budget shows to kind of help fluff out the big stuff, which, you know, makes sense. I mean, I think we're going to see lots of things like this. I wouldn't be at all surprised if we see things like the YouTube shows, like the Star Wars show and the Marvel ones pop up on Disney Plus as well. I think it just makes sense. You know, throw them a bit more money and put them on the on that way. We'll find out more of this a bit later on. But yeah, two new Pixar shorts. We got a lava lamp, something like that, with Bo Peep, as that's going to be coming to Disney Plus. A short series with Forky, where he answers questions.
What is cheese? Apparently, is going to be one of the questions. I've got to wait until I see Toy Story 4 before I decide if I'm excited at all about a what is thing with Sporky or Forky or whatever his name is. Forky asks a question. We'll see. It could be cute. It's probably going to be aimed primarily at kids who would be in the age range to play with Forky. So, I mean, that's fine. And especially if it's only a couple of minutes long, you know, sometimes you don't have time for a 22-minute episode or something like that, and a 5-minute short is the right way to go. And you know, you throw Forky on there, or you throw, you know, the Galaxy of Heroes Star Wars, or the Forces of Change, you know, stuff like that, where, you know, you get that quick action bite for a couple minutes, and then you continue on with your day, chores, whatever you need to do.
I mean, I think we're going to see lots of things like this, things like Marvel Rising. Nothing was shown during the event, but it just makes sense. But other shows that they kind of announced, movie side, they kind of confirmed some of the original movies. We've got Lady and the Tramp. We got to see the first image of that, which was Show the Dogs. You know, that's going to be available at launch. Noelle with Anna Kendrick coming in year one.
I'd have to assume that's coming before Christmas.
It's like you're launching, like, yeah, they are. You can see that is wave, like, just maybe Thanksgiving Day, maybe not technically at launch, but 2 weeks later, as a big selling point for Christmas. Of, yeah, it's gonna be year one. We're like, well, year two technically starts November 2022. So yeah, it's gonna be out literally a few weeks afterwards. It makes sense for them to hold it back a couple of weeks. Release it on Thanksgiving Day or something like that. It would make a lot of sense.
Day after Thanksgiving. Christmas does not start until after Thanksgiving, despite what the retail stores tell you.
Yeah. So Noelle was confirmed. There was also a Phileas and Ferb movie.
That one came out of nowhere.
A new version of that coming. Stargirl, that will be coming in year one. Timmy Failure will also be coming in year one. Togo will also be coming in year one. We've kind of known about them for a while, but now we've actually got the official, like, synopsis, so that's good to know. And if you think in year one, that kind of essentially means spread them out every 2 to 3 months. They are making these original movies, and yeah, I mean, if they have one a month or one every 2 months, throw in with their Marvel movie slates and all the Disney movie slate and stuff and the Fox content, you know, we are going to be continually getting new updates to the channel, which is what they need.
Right. And quickly too, if they're year one, that then in theory, they'll be coming fairly quickly onto the service, relatively speaking. So,
yeah, I mean, what's that? There's 6 original movies. So 6 original movies in year one. So yeah, that's going to be roughly average, probably like 1 every 2 months, or they could do 3 in 1 month if they wanted to at Christmas. But by the looks of it, they've really stacked launch. So I imagine that they'll hold some stuff back for a bit later on. And also, you know, Falcon and the Winter Soldier starts in this month, and then the next month, oh, here's Stargirl. You know, they're all going to be spread out between all of them for different audiences. And you're going to be having that weekly drop for those episodes, all those documentaries. You're going to be having also just new shows created. There's stuff from National Geographic and the Disney Channel will just be dropping on there with new episodes constantly. So that'll be a good thing. Yeah, I was just trying to think. So you've got all the release of all of this year's movies are all going to be on there. And then they've kind of gone into all the TV shows that are on there. Here we go. Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxy, Marvel's Ultimate Spider-Man animated series, Mickey's Road to the Racers, Mickey's Mouse Shorts. Then we've got things like, you know.
That short show is so weird.
The DuckTales from the 1987, DuckTales from 2016, season one. Very specific there, that says season one. Animax seasons 1 to 3. These are just things that have just been sort of thrown out. Dog Whisperer with Caesar Milan, Brain Games, Malcolm in the Middle, one of the Fox TV shows. They gave us a lot, but at the same time, they've left a lot to be outside. But that's what they need, the PR beats to be building up for this. They told us so much more than I thought they would do.
Yeah, but they also needed to make sure that the investors, the stockholders, knew that there was a lot coming, because they did end the presentation before the QA with, we are going to be taking a very big loss for the next several years. And of course, if you don't lead up to that with good news, then all investors will hear is, we are going to be taking a big loss. Mm. Obviously, the message got across, as we've seen the last day or two, the Disney stock has been basically soaring. So
yeah, it went up 10%. It was an all-time high. It's like, I did that with a little story. It's like, because there's all the artists like, Disney stock up, Netflix stock down. It was definitely the overall feeling of, like, I think everybody is now looking at Netflix kind of going, Disney Plus just, well, let's just say, I know my social feeds will be very much a echo chamber, but the reaction from this and Apple TV Plus was very, very different.
Yeah, of course. And that's just the way it is when there's multiple players in a single market. You know, if Marvel announces something major, then the DC fans have a very different interpretation. Yeah. When PlayStation announces something, Microsoft fans look different, or the Nintendo fans look at it differently. And you kind of have to do that, because, you know, when companies that are opposed to Disney in terms of, like, market positioning, when they announce good things, as a Disney fan, you kind of have to go, not that big a deal. Disney's got these other things you're working on. Or, you know, when someone comes out and says, hey, the Shazam movie is actually really good, you're kind of like, well, okay, Shazam's really good for a DC movie. You know, and it's human nature. It's just how we are. So,
yes. Yeah. It's that thing of, I did try and say to my, we go to cinema, are you going to see Dumbo or Shazam? And she's like, I don't really, oh, we'll just wait for both of them. It was like, all right, okay, it's fine. It was that kind of thing of, yeah, there is a lot of stuff out there. But I do think they hit that right point of, they've been hitting, here is franchises, you know, and they really pushed hard on the fact that these are franchises, their brand recognition. They know that that is their key point, and that is their number one benefit over Netflix and Apple and Amazon, is they've got that. They can say Phileas and Ferb animated TV series, and the audience is already there. They've already got that. They've done the work for that. Whereas when Netflix turn around and go, here's an animated series, you've got no idea what it is, it's harder. It's harder for them to sell it to people. They know they've got that, and they know they've got that benefit. Yeah, I mean, Apple TV are going down the other line of they're going more for this more sophisticated coffee culture series that, you know, the people that look down at Disney go, no, that's just mass branding and we don't like that. You want more sophisticated stuff. And you can see everyone's like trying to grab a little different piece of the market. It was very obvious, I think, with Hulu and Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, they've got a strategy in mind of having, yeah, we want your $20 a month, but we're going to let you have the options of buying in. You might not want ESPN. You might not want Adult, but we're going to offer all of it rather than go, well, actually, Hulu and Disney Plus together, $15, please. They're getting to the same number. It's just that they're doing it a different way.
Right. And they're doing it in a sneakier way, which you can interpret however you want. You go, oh, it's underhanded. They're hiding it. Or you can go, well, they're letting you do it a la carte and you're not penalized for not picking up pieces. You know, if you here in the States, if you get a cable package and you only want internet, you don't want live television, you will end up paying more for the internet cable package than you would if you bundled it alongside. And that's not something that's going on here.
I'm just glad that, you know, because National Geographic could have been its own thing.
Right.
They could have done a Marvel one. They could have broken it down into lots of different segments, but I think, you know, they have made the right choice. Again, Hulu and stuff. Hulu's at a really tricky point because Comcast still own 30% of Hulu and AT&T still own 10% of Hulu. There's still 40% of Hulu that Disney now no longer own. And they were very quite open about the fact of it in the Q&A sessions of going, we aren't, you know, the international launch and all the rest of it. It's like they still have these other parties. And like I said, Comcast have got a big pie in the fact that they own Sky over here in Europe. And, you know, these things, if Comcast is their direct competitor, you know, all the Disney Channel stuff and the ABC stuff that's all on, and the FX stuff that's all on Sky and Now TV over here, they can't launch Hulu till they get all that stuff off of the Comcast side. And so therefore there is still that conflict of interest with Hulu. They don't own the entire thing yet. And that's why they are growing, but they are viewing that in a very different thing with the ads and the streaming of the television. It is. They are going to be pushing it, but I do feel it's definitely going to be pushed on the back burner while they focus on their free. They've got free brands, and I think Hulu is definitely going to be the older kid that not many people are excited about anymore.
That's one way of putting it, especially since they are keeping the three-tiered pricing for that. You know, the don't pay very much, but it has ads, pay a little bit more and it doesn't have ads, or pay like a lot more and you get live TV channels or close to live TV channels, something like that. I forget what's in the premium package. Whereas Disney Plus is, no, you pay one fee. You can either pay it monthly or you can pay slightly less and it's annual. But you know, there's no $7 with ads, $12 without ads, $30, and you get to watch them hand animate the Mickey Mouse show right before it pops on or something.
I think it's a smart idea. One price, one set, go, bang.
It's simple. It's straightforward.
Yeah. Quick thing, because I don't know if we did. I don't think we did. I'm looking at devices. They did show off the device side of things. They showed off a slide with PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch, Apple TV, Roku, Amazon Fire Stick. I can't. There was another.
There were some Chromecasts on there.
Yeah, there's Chromecast. They showed those images. They showed the smart TVs. They showed a laptop. They showed a MacBook. That was about as good an image as they could possibly put up about the fact of if you've got an app, a machine that can take an app, we've kind of got you covered. They confirmed Roku and PlayStation 4 are confirmed. The other ones, I think they're working with their platform holders. They ain't going to put up those pictures unless they've kind of already been in negotiations to put the app up there.
True. And they might be putting some of those up there to get the companies involved. Kind of like, no, look, see, there is demand for it to be on. Looking at you, Nintendo Switch still doesn't have Netflix.
Yeah, but they have Hulu. They have Netflix.
They do have Hulu, which is a good sign that they'll have Disney Plus. But, you know, that was something that caught a lot of people's attention. Hey, there's a Nintendo Switch up there that doesn't have too many non-gaming apps on it.
Yeah. And also got all the game, all the gaming companies, all got all the sites and all the press was reporting on it. They were very good, the fact that they're out there on this thing. Personally, for me, having seen the mess they made up with Disney Life over here in the UK, where let's just say they launched it on a number of devices and it was very much like, you've got Android and Google and Fire and, oh, those consoles? Yeah, we're not. They didn't put them out on the consoles. They didn't really do much with the smart TV. It was almost like, oh, we're making Disney Plus. I'll stop development. So for me, it's great to see them kind of doing this because it was one of my pet peeves. I have to have my Fire Stick plugged into my Xbox One, into my television to watch it because the amount of devices I've got plugged in. So that's a good thing that they're doing that. Very good that they're doing this kind of thing, really, of sorting out the apps. They're not going down the box. They're not setting up something different. You've already got the a device that you can do it. And I think that was very clear.
Yeah, and I think a lot of companies, not just Disney, are recognizing that, yes, most people use a tablet or a laptop or a computer, maybe a mobile phone, to watch these movies on. But when you're at home and you have a TV, why would I watch these shows on my tablet when I can watch it on my Roku or my Chromecast or my Xbox One or whatever? Yes, if you're in a family, you've got your husband or wife and 2.5 kids and the dog and stuff like that, maybe you don't have access to the television as much as you want because someone else is using it. Your kid's playing Fortnite or something. Sure, you can watch it on the tablet. But, you know, maybe at night the kids have gone to bed. You and your significant other, you want to watch a movie. You want to watch it on TV. You don't want to be, you know, huddled around a tablet.
But also the fact of having it on different TVs, for me, once I upgraded to a smart TV, I stopped using my PlayStation 4 apps. I used to watch Netflix on the PlayStation 4, got a smart TV, no longer did. But for a year or two, we used to watch it through the console. And depends on which console you've gone down, you might want to use it. You know, yeah, you got your television apps, but it's like for me with Disney Life, I specifically had to go buy a Fire Stick so I could watch it on my big screen because my smart TV and the consoles that I had, like Netflix and Amazon on, couldn't watch it. So I waited to an Amazon deal and picked it up. But I'm really glad that they've sorted this. I think because I've had that problem with the Disney streaming service, so I'm glad to see that they've cleared that up.
Yeah, I agree. And the more devices they can launch on or get going very quickly after launch, the better off they'll be. Because one of the big stopping points is, oh, I've got nothing I can watch on it. And if you can go, no, it's on. You've got a Chromecast. It's right there. You can just cast it from your computer. And then the selling point is simplicity. You know, you don't have to make extra steps to make it work. You've already got the equipment right now. Flat fee, good to go. You're watching your Marvel movies right now.
Yeah. The couple of other questions that have come up since then is how many devices it'll be on, how many can you watch at once. They haven't stated that. It wasn't brought into the conversation. ESPN, I think, lets you have 5. Disney Life has you 10. Yeah, they didn't mention it, but there is going to be more questions about that coming up later. But they also confirmed, I think, that they are in negotiations or sorting out with Hulu for having Disney Plus within Hulu. Because obviously in Hulu, you can have like HBO and different things. And I think it'll be the same thing with Amazon as well and Apple TV, that you will see the apps and the content within there because they just want this out there for everybody. They want you subscribed. They want as many people as possible. They want to make it as easy as possible. They're not about hardware. It's about software, getting it out there. And I think that's great. I mean, even Apple have brought down their tone. You know, they're putting out all their content on different devices and stuff because I think they've realized that being behind a hardware garden doesn't help anymore. You know, you're seeing this with a lot of big hardware companies. They are realizing that there's too much tech out there that isn't going away.
Yeah, I think Amazon is probably one of the only holdouts right now that's kind of like, no, you will watch our stuff on our hardware. And even they are kind of backing off on it a bit. I know you can get Amazon Prime on like smart TVs and stuff like that. But outside of that, if you want to listen to Audible, an audiobook on Audible, you're listening to it on their app. You're listening to it on an Alexa. That's it. You you can't listen to it on like a Google Home or something like that.
And even on that, Apple, you're going to be able to listen to the podcasts and stuff through their website. They're going to stop. You don't need to have iTunes installed.
So which is nice.
Which is great for us, because if you want to listen to us, you don't actually have to listen to us through iTunes. You know, that's great. I mean, I do it all the time with podcasts. If it is annoying, if when you, but I'm not installing iTunes on my laptop, I don't need it. I'll listen to it through another thing. So yeah, I think that's, you know, it's good for us as a podcast. But there we go. I think that pretty much, looking at my list of notes, I think we have kind of gone through ad free. We did mention that. I think there won't be any ads on it. So yeah, I mean, what an event. That literally, they told us a lot more than I thought they would do. I mean, I know when I was seeing the 3-hour runtime, I was wondering how they were going to fill it. They did. There was
a lot of bloat.
Yeah, there was a lot of aspects. The Q&A at the end was rather pointless. I don't know why they bothered. They did have the investment person come on at the end, giving us lots of information technically, at which point I've watched it back again, and they kind of were saying stuff, but it wasn't. It was just like they're investing lots of money, and that was like, but by then all the big hitters had already hit the ground running.
It was there so that stockholders who were only there to find out, should I buy the stock, should I hold the shares I already have, could go, oh, okay, there will be a hit, but they know what they're doing. They have a plan. It will be profitable. I should hold on to my shares, or I should add to my share collection. And obviously, if you added to your shares right after the investor meeting, you made a bunch of money. Now, whether or not that stock is going to come back down, you know, that's what we'll see over the next couple of weeks. But
no, it was, yeah, so it was a good event. I don't know, like, now of whether or not we are now just, I mean, each time there's an investors call, we'll find out a little bit more, but I'm expecting them to kind of start rolling out different things. I was very surprised. I mean, the official website in the US has updated. There's now a countdown clock. We put that on there. I thought that we was going to be a little bit more of an update, whether or not they're holding that back for the next PR beat later down the line. They, you know, there's a lot of stuff I would have expected. I was expecting kind of, you know, official social medias and stuff to kick up, but that didn't happen. Whether or not they're going to keep that all back for later, or if, I think even now you look at the official Twitter page for Disney, it's at Disney now. It says, you know, information on Disney Plus. I don't know whether or not they're even, I don't know. They might even just not even just do everything in house, but it would seem kind of silly. I was expecting them to kind of come out with a big update to everything. Maybe that will come later. Because they are going to have continuous PR beats as they go on. You know, each time a trailer drops, all the stuff that that the investors saw that we didn't, they'll be drip feeding that out over the next coming weeks. But they'll want to make sure that these trailers are hitting one on. They didn't want to show us early footage of stuff. You know, they want to keep High School Musical for some random day. They'll put that out there to get us excited.
Yeah, and it's not even going to be regular beats. It's going to be increasing beats. They're going to be, as we get closer to November 12th, you're going to see more and more and more trailers and press releases and announcements about what's coming, not just at launch, but, you know, down the road. So you can go, yes, subscribe at launch to get all of these things, but keep subscribing month after month, because, you know, you're going to want to see these other movies and shows that are coming out.
But I'm also wondering if they are looking at it going, nope. Yeah, they have view that Disney Plus is like them with cinemas and TV. It's just part of their network, and they were just going to put it out for their normal, like, Disney. Because it feels more like along the lines of, right, Marvel are putting this out on National Geographic or the Disney Channel, and it's going to be that kind of thing of, it's also available on Disney Plus, that kind of feeling of, and it will just be put out there as a beat. But who knows? We've got so many more questions, but so much little time. It's already been a long episode. We knew it was going to be. So big thank you to everyone that's joined us right through to the end. Make sure you do subscribe. We do this every single week. We do an episode. See, you know, we are going to be doing a lot more as it goes forward. If now we'll start getting that information through. There was lots of news that we haven't covered this week. Let's do it. So next week we'll go through like the episode 9 trailer. We'll go through some other rumors and stuff and go through maybe some of the stuff that was missed. But love to see you subscribe. Thank you very much for joining us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, bookmark the website, because obviously as soon as I know, you know, what's going on. James, where can they find you?
You find me at heroiclegacy.com. And don't forget that you wanted to leave a comment on this podcast pointing out that Julie Andrews is not in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Threw that one in for you. So have fun with that, guys.
Yeah, I didn't
even, I don't see the comments.
Yeah, no, I didn't even pick up on that one. But yeah, thank you very much, guys. We shall see you guys in another episode. Laters. Later.